How do you do? Curiosity is the key to thinking and learning. Without the curious investigation of questions, many of the world's great achievements would lie dormant. But when the lifelong pursuit for an answer seems fruitless, discouragement or worse results. We're about to meet a woman who, in early life, embarked on a search for the answer to one of life's most significant questions. The results were, to say the least, discouraging. Until she found the long-sought-for answer. An answer that came when her heart and mind and life were unshackled. From Chicago, the Pacific Garden Mission brings you Unshackled, the unique dramatic series presenting the true stories of real people. Since 1877, Pacific Garden Mission has provided help for homeless men and women, shelter, lodging, meals, clean and serviceable clothing, and medical and dental care, and all are given without charge. After meeting physical needs, friendly counselors address inner problems, knowing that bread alone will not satisfy. Now Pacific Garden Mission reaches around the world through this radio broadcast, Unshackled. The lady whose story we have to tell knew early in life that her question was most significant. Strangely enough, the very thought of that question seemed to fly in the face of everything her background, culture, and religion taught. What was that question? We'll let her explain as we bring you the true story of a woman we'll call Hannah, right now on program number 2298 in the series Unshackled.
I was born into a poor family in Cleveland, Ohio, back in 1923, the youngest of three children. We lived in what you could legitimately call a Jewish ghetto, bordering on other ethnic ghettos. My parents emigrated from Lithuania and spoke no English. Ours was an Orthodox Jewish family, very Orthodox, and our neighborhood could easily have been the source for the stereotypical characterizations associated with a Jewish family. Particularly in the intensity with which my mother communicated.
Hannah! Hannah! You will come home now!
Why? It's not dark. I'm playing with Arky.
Hannah, now! I do not need a reason. You will come to your home now.
Don't worry, Arky. She's not mad yet.
Hannah, daughter! Now I will call you no more.
I guess I better go. When I started school, I began to see several differences between my Jewish neighborhood and what we called the Christians. In our neighborhood, everyone spoke very intensely. In other neighborhoods, they talked quietly. I proved this to my friends by organizing a reconnaissance mission into a non-Jewish neighborhood.
Where are we going on this spy mission?
Over to see some Christians.
What do you want to do that for?
Because they're different than us.
Yeah, my brother says they got horns and tails and stuff. I want to see them.
Oh, that ain't so, I think. But they act different.
Papa says they're bad. They want to kill Jews.
Nah, I go to school with lots of them, and I never seen any of them kill anybody. Besides, my mama says we got to judge people by who they are and not what they are.
What does that mean?
It means we got to go see for ourselves. Another difference was a name I never heard in our neighborhood, but occasionally would hear from the kids at school. The name of a man, Jesus Christ. One of the first days I went to temple for Hebrew school, I asked the rabbi the question that I would spend the good portion of my life trying to answer.
Hannah, you have a question.
Rabbi, I heard some kids at school talk about a man, Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ?
Hannah, it is obvious you're not feeling very well today. You go home and speak with your mother.
Mama, I'm home!
I'm on the phone with the rabbi. Go ahead, rabbi.
This youngster you call Hannah, she's not Jewish. She comes into the temple asking questions no Jew would ask. She's not Jewish. Take her out of our classes at once before she poisons the others. I do not want to see her back here again.
What is this you have done at the temple?
What do you mean?
The rabbi says you ask a question Jews do not ask.
I just wanted to know who Jesus Christ is.
Oh, this question you do not ask. Do you understand
me? Why? I'm just curious. Why can't I ask?
You are Jewish. You do not ask. That is why.
When told what to do without being given a reason, I became all the more curious, pursuing the activity with vigor. By now, my parents were convinced I was a rebellious youngster. In reality, I was just curious. I had many questions I wanted answered, and I wanted reasons for what I did. I know there were reasons behind all our customs, but if I couldn't get a straight answer from my parents, I became agitated. That was demonstrated one day when I decided I didn't like going to temple anymore.
What is this you say?
I don't want to go to temple anymore.
You will go to the temple. I will hear no more.
I don't like it, okay?
That is all. If you leave the temple, I will have a heart attack and die.
I'm not leaving our religion. I just don't like going to temple.
Oh, who is this girl standing here? She is not my daughter. I do not know who you are, but you are not my daughter. What is this? You will not go back to temple, huh?
I'll tell you another thing. I get tired of going to temple just because it's a holiday, and it's a holiday just because we did something right.
Why do you stab me in the heart?
Again, I had been told what not to ask, but given no real reasons. A while after that, a curious incident occurred. A friend asked me to go to church with her. I was dumbfounded to discover that they had music in church. The only music we ever had was a cantor. And then, since she knew I enjoyed music, she asked me to join the choir. I did, and thought it was the most hilarious thing, a Jewish girl singing in another church choir and in Latin. I knew less about Latin than I did about Hebrew. Well, you can imagine my mother's response when she heard about that one. In high school, I became somewhat of a civil rights activist, long before civil rights was popular. I was concerned for no group in particular, just anyone I felt needed help. For a while, I played lookout for a boy and girl from different ethnic backgrounds who wanted to be together. Then at school, I created a stir when I wanted to form a club.
Tell me about this club.
It's a dance club. We get together and have fun dancing.
And who is we?
Any of the kids, okay? The Jews and the Italians and the Irish and the blacks.
You're going to invite the blacks to dance with the others?
Sure, why not?
We don't do that.
I do if you don't.
Would you like to graduate?
Of course, but what's that?
We don't do that.
Oh, like when our football team won the game last year and we went out to celebrate and the restaurant wouldn't let the blacks in? You read my editorial about that in the school newspaper. I know you did.
I can't understand you, Hannah. Your brother and sister went through this school and I didn't have any trouble with them.
After high school, I joined the war effort, working in a factory making material for fighter planes. Again, some people saw me as a troublemaker.
Hannah.
Yeah?
Did you hear what happened to Yoshi, the Japanese girl working in shipping?
No!
She got fired this morning.
Fired? What in the world for?
Well, she was working next to an American gal whose brother got killed in the Pacific, you know, the war.
Yeah.
Well, when this American kid heard about her brother, that she had the boss fire Yoshi.
No.
Just because she's Japanese.
And the boss did?
Yeah. And nobody said a word.
Well, I'm saying something. Hey, stop the line. Somebody turn this thing off. Okay, over here, everybody. Gather around. Listen here, everybody. You all know Yoshi down in shipping? She got fired this morning just because she's Japanese. I say that's not right. We can't let them do this. The next thing, they'll fire you, Bremer, just because your father came from Germany, or you, Murphy, because you're Irish. And then they'll go after anybody they want just because they happen to be Jewish or Polish or Italian. We can't let them get away with this. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay, out we go. Hit the streets.
We'll find out what happened at that factory in just a moment. And now here's David Saulnier, the superintendent of Pacific Garden Mission. Dave, tell our listeners about a little gift we have for them from the Pacific Garden Mission.
We often have people write us and ask if the Unshackled stories are available in print. Our answer is yes, and we'd be delighted to send you a packet of three.
Sometimes people will write us concerning some other matter, but add, I've read and enjoyed your little booklets, but I've given them all away to friends. Could I have three more? Well, we're happy to oblige.
Because these Unshackled broadcasts have been so popular, we decided to make them available in a more permanent form. With that in mind, we selected several of the radio stories and rewrote them into a short story format. Each story contains all the facts from the radio broadcast, but are arranged for easy reading.
And these booklets are also a very convenient size. They fit into a purse or shirt pocket. We suggest that after people read them, they pass them along to a friend.
Each booklet contains God's plan of salvation and an invitation to receive Jesus Christ. That makes them an effective tool for personal evangelism.
Dave, tell our listeners how they may obtain a set of Unshackled booklets.
A packet of three short story booklets is available for the asking. Just write to us at the Pacific Garden Mission and request a packet of Unshackled stories. We'll send them out right away.
Address your request to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605.
Hey, there's Hannah. What'd the boss say?
Well, it took a lot of talking, but he gave in.
All right.
You've all got your jobs back, including Yoshi.
Hey!
Yeah, everybody except me.
What?
Boss says I'm too dangerous with this voice of mine. He gave me my walking papers. Oh, hey, don't worry. I'm on to bigger and better things. Things where my voice is an asset. I've had it with this place anyway. At that point, my mother had had enough of me, so she packed me off to live with my sister in Chicago. It was there that I began to pursue the answer to my question with more diligence. I still wanted to know something about this Jesus Christ, whether that qualified me as rebellious or not. I figured the best way to find an answer was to go to a Christian house of worship. As it turned out, I went from one kind of church to another with much the same experience at each. I wasn't very impressed with these churches. I had a great time socially, but I never really found out what they believed, and believe it or not, nobody ever told me anything about Jesus Christ. I spent quite a bit of time listening to the radio in those days, going from one station to another. On one occasion, I came across the most unusual program.
How do you do? Peace, real peace with oneself and one's surroundings, is often a lifelong search. Imagine how that search is complicated in the life of one who is born an invalid and suffers one setback after another. We're about to meet someone whose search was set back often, from early childhood until she was nearly 80. The search itself almost destroyed her until her heart and mind and life were unshackled. From Chicago, the Pacific Garden Mission brings you Unshackled, true stories of real people that make you face yourself and think.
I listened to that program regularly and was impressed by the storylines, the fact that time after time people were searching for peace just like me. Then one day I discovered that Elaine Haig, a lady who lived in my apartment building, was head of the women's division at the Pacific Garden Mission. She invited me to visit the mission one Saturday afternoon.
Well, that's the cook's tour of Pacific Garden Mission.
Thank you. It was most interesting. I've never seen anything like this before, and you provide all these services free.
That's right. And now there's someone I want you to meet, Harry Saulnier. He's the superintendent of the mission.
I returned to the mission several times. I enjoyed hearing Harry Saulnier, but the main reason was, I confess, it was a good place to get a free meal. After a while, I got involved in other things and forgot about the mission. I did, however, continue listening to Unshackled. Unshackled.
One day, after I'd been away from the mission for quite a while, I got the shock of my life. I was at work when this huge giant of a man walked up.
Excuse me, are you Hannah?
That's right.
It's nice to meet you, Hannah. My name's David Saulnier.
Did you say Saulnier?
Yes, David Saulnier.
You wouldn't by any chance be related to a Harry Saulnier from the Pacific Garden Mission?
Yes, I am. I'm his son.
Well, I'll be. What brings you here?
I work here. I just came over to let you know that they've missed you at the mission.
Oh.
Also, if you have any questions about things you heard there, or questions about the Bible, please let me know.
Oh.
If I can't give you an immediate answer, I'll find one, I promise.
Well, I've got one to start with. Who is Jesus Christ?
That's a good question. John chapter 20, verse 31 says, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now, why don't you read the Gospel of John for yourself?
Okay.
The Bible has the answer to that question. If you get stumped, just let me know. Hi, Hannah. Reading your Bible?
Sometimes. But I don't understand it.
Well, that's not surprising. The Bible tells us that Satan doesn't want people to understand. He tries to confuse us.
Oh, well, I hope you don't mind all these questions. I've got another one, okay?
No problem. Anything I can do to help.
What was the purpose of Jesus' life? Why was he here?
That's another good question. When you get home, look up 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15.
Okay.
Paul gives us the answer when he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You see, his whole purpose in living and dying was to provide a way for us to be saved from the penalty of our sin.
Dave was the only person I ever remember who didn't mind answering all my questions and told me the Bible contained all I needed to know about Jesus Christ. During that time, I became, as they say, down on my luck. Back in Cleveland, my mother told the man I was to marry that I was no good, so he left. In Chicago, I married a man I found out later was an alcoholic. Financially, I hit the bottom. I had no money and no place to live. Things seemed like they were turning around when my friend Ursula and her husband took me in to live with them. Then one day a co-worker and I took the company's receipts to the bank.
Hannah, let's go back to the office past Kellerman's. You know, a change of scenery.
I'd love to. I like the window displays at Kellerman's. They had such a lovely...
Hannah. Oh, it's good to see you awake.
Where am I?
Oh, you're in the hospital. A car struck you while you were crossing the street. Your condition was quite serious for a while, but you're past the crisis.
Oh, I hurt all over. I want to get out of here. Please take me home.
Oh, the doctor says you need a few days here first. Then I can take you home for the remainder of your rehabilitation.
Rehabilitation?
You've had some serious leg and hip damage.
Oh, what's the prognosis?
Not very optimistic. He said it will be a lengthy recovery.
Oh, give it to me straight, Ursula. How long?
In all probability, you will not walk again.
The first year after my accident, I reached the bottom of my life. I was faced with the prospect of never walking again. I contracted one illness after another. No one from work or any of the churches I had attended bothered to visit or even to call to find out if I were alive or dead. I was in the deepest of depressions and felt that there was no answer. I looked back over my life and all I could see was the wrong I had done. On top of the depression, I was filled with guilt. At the point where I felt I had hit the bottom, the phone rang. Hello, this is Hannah.
Hello, Hannah. This is David Saulnier.
Oh.
You've been on my mind lately, so I thought I'd check on you.
It's so nice to hear from you. No one's called me in ages. I haven't heard from anyone at work or at church in over a year.
I'm sorry I haven't contacted you earlier. I just found out about the seriousness of the physical problems you have from your accident.
It's been a long time now.
So I discovered. You see, my father stepped down as superintendent of the mission, and the trustees asked me to take over, so my time with the company has been very limited. Now tell me, what's been going on with you? You must have had a very difficult time.
Oh, Dave, I don't know where to start. I've hit the bottom of my life. The doctor says I'll never walk again. I've had one illness after another. Serious things, you know, and...
Is God trying to get your attention?
I don't know. All I know is I'm at the bottom, and I don't know where to turn.
Now, Hannah, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It sounds like you could use some of that now.
I think you're right. I've spent a good deal of my time this last year looking over my life, and I don't like what I see. I've come to realize that my life is filled with sin, and I don't know what to do about it.
Now, Hannah, look to Jesus in the Bible for the answers. Remember 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That means me. That means you. Ask Christ to reveal himself to you. Then pick up your Bible and read in Romans. You know those verses I underlined and read for you once?
Yeah.
You'll find that Christ can and will forgive you if you just let him.
Oh, Ursula, my eyes are so watered up I can't read. Would you mind? In Romans, the verse that David underlined?
I'd love to. Romans. Here it is. He did underline some verses in red. Let's see. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, here's another. Chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love towards us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Jesus died for sinners. Dave said that was the whole reason he came into the world.
But here's the next verse. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Eternal life. I've never believed in the afterlife before this.
Here's another one. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Thank you, Ursula. I think I better go to my room. God, I know there is a God. If Jesus Christ is the Messiah, please, I want him as my Savior. I can't handle life. I can't do it anymore. After that prayer, I went to bed sobbing for joy that someone was interested enough in me to point me to Jesus. The next morning, my eyes were opened. I found what I had been searching for. I knew for a fact that Jesus Christ lived and died for my sins. And based upon my faith in that fact, my sins were forgiven. And when I opened up the Bible, the words began to make sense. I wish I could say that life has been perfect since that time, but it hasn't. I've developed diabetes and fibromyositis. I've suffered from vascular insufficiency, heart trouble, and hypertension, and I've had a nervous disorder. But what has changed is that through all the difficulties, I have peace. I have a friend in Jesus Christ. I have found the answers to my questions. I know who Jesus Christ is. Now it gives me great joy to answer other people's questions about Jesus. Like the day I met a neighbor in the laundry.
I'll finish with this washer in just a minute. Sir, I like your necklace.
Oh.
Star of David, huh? You must be Jewish.
Well, if you look closely, it's a Star of David with a cross in the center. Mm. I'm a Jewish Christian.
What? You can't be Jewish and Christian, too. It's impossible.
No, it's not. You see, being a Christian isn't a nationality or even a religion. It's a relationship with a person. It's knowing God through his son, Jesus Christ, and being released from the penalty for sin.
Well, how can you know God forgave your sins? Huh?
In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, we read, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved."
Well, that's a Christian saying. It's not for Jews.
Those words were written by a great Jewish rabbi, Saul of Tarsus. Yeah, a student of the great Rabbi Gamaliel.
But this is not the Jewish way.
No, it's God's way. A sentence or two later, the rabbi says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." God's free gift of forgiveness is for everybody, Jew, Christian, Buddhist, Hindu, it doesn't matter. God will forgive the sins of anybody who calls upon him, believing that God and God alone forgives sins through Jesus Christ. I thank God that he and he alone forgave my sins. I guess you could say that my testimony can be found in the words of an old song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Friend, Hannah discovered Jesus Christ and the amazing grace he offers to all who believe. He grants forgiveness of sin and an inner peace that cannot be taken away. The living Lord that did this for Hannah wants to do the same for you. To counsel with someone who is concerned about you, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. If you listen in the Philippines, you may address Unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. The address in Liberia is Box 10-0192, Monrovia 10. Please take a moment to write and tell us you listen and ask others to listen too. Let the manager of this station know that you appreciate Unshackled. This is program number 2298. Heard in the true story of Hannah were Belinda Bremner, Paula Hart, Mary Skoll, Joanne Silvestrak, Dan Frick, and Larry Moran. Original music, Lucille Becker. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Story by Timothy R. Wise, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. If you need spiritual help and counsel, just call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago at area 312-922-1462.